Starting?
We're rolling.
It's happening?
Yes.
This is the show?
This is the show.
Okay, all right. Welcome to the Hipsit Podcast with me, Rabbi Simcha, and our producer, Rabbitson, Sherry Barkley.
Shalom.
Sherry, we're sitting in an RV trailer. It is the heat of summer. We're in Bushwick. We're schwitzing. It is hotter than the sun over here.
It takes a couple minutes for the AC to kick in.
Yeah, you said that 15 minutes ago. But, Sherry, there's been some big news.
Yes.
Apparently, you have caught the eye of the United States government.
That is correct.
I'm not sure if we want to go there.
Let's go there.
Okay, great. Sherry, there's been issues. Apparently, you've been picked up by the algorithm. FBI, CIA, tell the audience what's going on.
Well, it's just a company called Sound Exchange, which is a nonprofit of the government that enforces copyright law. And we have an underground radio station here at the Hipsit Podcast Studios, an unnamed underground radio station, where we play
unnamed
a lot of
for obvious reasons.
Rare music, but it still counts as commercial music because it was recorded by an artist and a label. And when you do this, you need a statutory license. Now, about 95% of webcasters, especially around Bushwick, do not have a statutory license. But the more popular you get, the easier you can get
caught.
On the
radar.
Exactly.
On the Judah.
So we've been caught. However, this is no big deal because I've spent about the last 2.5 weeks figuring out how to become licensed.
Legit.
Yeah. So
it is a big deal.
It is.
And I'll explain why it's a big deal, Sherry.
It's a big
because,
deal.
Let me explain. The last episode, you told the story of DJing on the ferry. And I had this great idea to begin the show with some of the sounds of Brian Ferry introducing Sherry on the ferry. But now, thanks to the United States government, I've had to scale it back to Michael Schnitzler.
Which as it should be. See, the government is kind of doing your work for you.
Right.
The government wants you to play royalty-free Jewish music. And this is his
giving
way.
Giving a voice to the voiceless.
Exactly.
Sounds to the soundless.
Yes, because you know what? That person you just mentioned will now receive royalty payments.
He's getting nothing from me. Okay, so Sherry, I just want to put it out there. Should you become incarcerated, I will do everything in my power to free you, to support you, to visit you.
I'm not in any way, shape, or form becoming incarcerated because I did lots of research to become properly licensed. Fine. What that means is...
Can I be arrested for being on...
No.
Oh, okay, fine.
No, but I know that you like to pump up the podcast
up
with
the
theme of Jaws or this
I
or
know.
That, you know, or, you know...
I had big plans.
Eye of the Tiger,
know,
all this
I
stuff.
Know.
But instead, we need to play some Jewish music.
Jew it up.
And
Jew
I want to put a call out there to any Jewish musicians who would like to submit music for the Hipsit Podcast. Please do so. We may or may not be having a contest for our new theme song.
Battle of the Yiddish Bands.
Exactly, exactly. So
any Jewish musicians out there, submit your music to submissions at hipsidpodcast.org, which does not exist. but maybe it should. And we'll give you a voice. And we're going to try and keep Sherry out of jail. Anyway, moving on with the show.
Yes.
We have a great guest today who is sitting here schwitzing. And he's got this look like, what have I got myself into? So we are blessed and honored to have the most popular rabbi on Instagram. Instagram's number one rabbi, Rabbi Daniel Bort. Say hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome to the Hipsit Podcast.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
What's the word? FOMO? Is that a word?
Well, you can't have FOMO because you're here.
Oh, so what am I having over here? Starstruck.
Instagram? What is the Instagram word? Millennial rabbi, let's just get right into the questions. Yeah. What's the Instagram word for being starstruck?
Maybe you weren't looking for YOLO. It wasn't FOMO. What would it be right now? I'll have to think about this one.
So I'll tell you how you came onto my Judah, right? I'm giving a lecture last summer I just joined Instagram. I'm on the gram. I'm feeling cool. I'm hip with the kids. I'm hashtagging. I'm loving it, right? I'm giving a lecture in Brooklyn Heights. And my good friend, Rabbi Eliyahu, says to me, oh, you got to check out Millennial Rabbi. He's the number one. And I searched you. And at that point, I felt like a broken man. But we've connected. We're friends. And I deeply have a deep hidden jealousy for you. I want to be you. But I'm struggling to contain my emotions. And we're going to chat. Okay. What do I call you? Rabbi Daniel?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to go through the bio and ask you some questions, okay? You pique my interest. Number one, you grew up in San Diego, which is gorgeous, via Cape Town, South Africa. What age?
Even more gorgeous, by the way.
Oh,
baby, so no accent.
Okay,
like
we're doing origin stories right now, okay? So I got interested because it says here, after a turbulent time in high school, you started exploring Judaism. Rabbi Daniel, define turbulent time.
You know, it's funny because everybody would claim that their high school was turbulent, so it seems to be. But I like to go all in early on the things, whatever I'm into, I want to succeed at and do well at. So I did it from 8th grade, 9th grade, was already, let's say, with people much older and kind of getting into that world and trying to find my place in it. And it was very topsy-turvy, you know, at that age. It's actually what inspired me to later work with that age group. I think it's the most vulnerable time, as we all know. So it was a very interesting period, and I kind of catapulted my exploration earlier than most, in already late teens. So
right. So high school is when one's worldview is starting to be shaped.
Yeah.
You're seeking, you're searching, and it's interesting that I think me and maybe Sherry got into Gremlins and Goonies. Right? She's nodding.
The occasional rave.
Right. Occasional rave. And Rabbi Daniel over here got into spirituality, which is beautiful.
Yes, it took a little time, but yeah, it was something that was really a gift from above that I just kind of started feeling that connection. So it wasn't something I necessarily worked hard for at the time. So.
What was the entry point? You met a rabbi, you went to a class.
So I did all that stuff, but I, to be honest, and it was something, you know, now in this new age world, I feel like you can talk like this and not feel like you're weird. But when I was like 16 or so, every week I would go with my dad to synagogue and I would never feel any connection to it. And one Friday night, I felt something during the prayers, and I actually came home. I remember mentioning it to my mother, and she's a kind of a spiritual lady. She's like, oh yeah, you had a real soul experience. I didn't know what that meant. I actually felt some connection out of nowhere. In Hasidic, Kabbalistic literature, we would say Isarusa Delela. It was something from above that was a gift.
Moving on with the podcast. So at the age of 16, you started going to shul, which is interesting because I also started going around that age. I just felt a yearning to belong to something bigger than myself. I like being part of community. And I just liked the culture. I liked the environment. And it did. It felt spiritual. I don't know if I had the same sort of deep mystical connection. For me, it was more of a cultural connection.
Yeah.
But I do feel, a sense of shared experience. Mm. So it says here that after 1 year at UC Santa Barbara, you went to Jerusalem.
Yes.
What happened after 1 year? What were you doing? Why did you leave? And dish the dirt.
So even though at 16 I got connected, it didn't change my life. My daily life, I was still going to parties. I was still trying to, you know, live that life. And I was on the side learning a little bit more and more and trying to grow a little bit. And between my high school and college, I went to Israel and I spent a few days in a yeshiva, and I went out into Tzfat and Jerusalem and nature, and I really started to...
Wait. Back up.
Yeah.
Tzfat.
I love Tzfat.
That's right next to me. You're in UC Santa Barbara.
Before. I haven't yet.
And now we're in Tzfat. What?
I didn't get to Santa Barbara yet. In between high school and college.
Okay.
So in between high school and college, I'm in Israel, and I really had an extremely strong feeling and connection to God at that time, and I was learning more and more, and I'd gone to some seminars, Arachim, and different things where they explained the logical underpinnings of Judaism. So I had both. I had the mind and the heart going, but I still, my plans were to get into politics. UC Santa Barbara was the biggest party college at the time in California. It was going to be quite an opposite experience.
Give it up.
And it's not Pratt level, but it's, you know. Already when that year started, I wanted to get into that life, but it was the high holidays. I had no time to come down from Israel, and I went straight into the highs of the high holidays,
And it was like kinda, a Jerusalem syndrome.
Jerusalem syndrome.
Wait,
totally.
Did you ever make it to Rosh Pina when you were in Tzfat?
No, but I've been to Rosh Pina, I believe. Is that with the all the way in the north?
It's right next to Tzfat.
Oh, okay.
It's like they're actually connected through the Vadi.
It's in that halal in Tehillim. We say Rosh Pina Eben Masu Habonim. That's what
you can
King
walk
David said.
Between them. There's a beautiful hike in the Vadi.
So that city that you're from, Rosh Pina, King David says in his
village.
Psalms,
let's
village.
Not call it. It's about 3,000 people.
So King David says that this rock that you scorn has become the Rosh Pina has become the
cornerstone,
and in life that's a lot. The people that we look over and the kind of the. You know, the discarded can end up... King David was the most discarded person in his family, and he became the king. So it's a cool city. Cool
millennial
village.
Rabbi dropping some truth bombs in the RV.
Brooklyn morning.
By the way, Sherry, for the millennial rabbi, explain in less than 10 seconds the origin story of Sherry.
My mom is from Rosh Pina. She met someone from New York who was in Rosh Pina. They were married in Rosh Pina, moved to Queens, got divorced, moved back to Rosh Pina, met a guy from Canada, moved there, eventually moved back to New York. Here I am in the RV.
Mm. Beautiful. Thank you, Sherry. Okay, next, Rabbi Daniel, it says here that you embarked on a six-year journey into Jewish thought, studying biblical, Talmudic, mystical teachings in schools all around the world.
It's true.
What did that look like?
Wow. So, like I said, when I get into something, I like to go all the way. I found a calling, and I decided I dedicated my life to learning and growing. And I went to Jerusalem. I went to Toronto, New York, New Haven, back to Jerusalem, back to New York. And in between, summers, I would go to this. I went to South Africa. I went to, I would volunteer for those missions where you'd go, went to Ukraine, Estonia for Passover to lead Seder. So it was nonstop immersion. I do believe in that. Not 6 years, but if there's something you really want to get into, by immersing in it, like I learned more Hebrew in a month of living in Israel than 10 years of day school. Like when you're able to immerse in something fully, and back then there wasn't the smartphone, it wasn't on the level that it is now. So, you know, I didn't have distractions. I was just able to learn, read. It was all thought and inner growth. So it was a very powerful time for sure.
It's interesting that you're the millennial rabbi. And I think, you know, millennials learn through instantaneousness. Is that even a word? It is now.
Yeah.
Instantaneous isms. Yet you, it was a long term. It was a real length. It was breadth. And you feel that that gave you the solid foundation to be able to take that to the millennials.
Behind any person that you're seeing on social media that's successful, you're seeing like a Gary Vaynerchuk or a rapper or an actress, they spent a lot of time immersed in their craft, and now you're seeing the fruits of their labors, but you're not seeing everything that led up to that success, which is
right. Okay,
behind
beautiful.
The scenes.
Moving on with the bio. We can do a whole episode just on your bio over here. So upon returning to California with rabbinical decree in hand. So that's it.
Degree, not decree. I wasn't making decrees.
You're right. Degree. And you were decreed a degree, okay? You founded J-Teen of San Diego. So what is J-Teen? How is J-Teen? Why is J-Teen?
Yeah, so I was talking about my teenage years were, you know, very precarious. So I felt that age group was what I wanted to help the most at first. So I came back home to San Diego. I started from scratch, from zero, and built an organization, a nonprofit that helps teenagers and middle school and high school. And, you know, we had humanitarian, educational, social events, everything. We still do it to this day. And, you know, it's working with teenagers is one of those things that you don't see the fruits of your labors right away, but it's like planting a seed, watering it. I hope 10 years from now I'll see someone who will come back and be like, you know, that was a pivotal time in my life. But it's one of those... can be thankless, but it's meaningful in its own way. Teenagers are more open to learning and growth, and sometimes we're older and more stuck in our ways. Right. So it's been good.
So you told me on the way over here that the millennial rabbi Insta handle is only 2 years old.
Mm.
So you've been able to in a mere 2 years become the most successful rabbi on Instagram. Which I it's no coincidence that you worked with teens. You understand the mindset, the sensibility of the teen, and you're now able to, I guess, open that up and preach to that demographic in a medium they can appreciate with a message they can understand.
It's a lot of things together. I get bored easily. So the whole platform of condensing, like when I wrote my book, and that's what started me doing social media, was to get my book out.
That's the M train, by the way.
Oh, nice. Nice. There's real New York. You know, you feel
real New York.
Some people would fake that on a podcast. Sherry's just to spinning make you the feel whole thing. You're in the area.
There's a sound effects. Got a whole thing.
It's awesome. Yeah. I made my book for the. I would take 5-hour classes and make into 3 paragraphs because I'm very into like getting to the kernel of what the idea is. So I was made for like kind of the Instagram platform, and then like you said, working with teenagers, I should be the Gen Z rabbi, not the millennial rabbi. That age group really, like, they're at the cutting edge of any trend, and I was seeing. You know, like I started going to Coachella festivals to host Jewish opportunities because I saw all the teenagers going.
Oh, we're getting
going.
To Coachella.
So,
we're,
like,
we're getting
everything
it.
I did was up. Does be, it is help through the demographic that I work with for sure. And I really, really gravitated to it. And the reason I started, I just think it's like an interesting story. My friend of mine from high school, I just decided I wanted to do social media, but I didn't know how far I could really take it. And when you make your own brand or personality, it's a big response. You feel like, who am I to do this? If you're an honest person, you're like, look, I know there's great rabbis out there, Rabbi Simcha. There's rabbis that are much more experienced than I. Why should I do that? And my friend said, you're looking at it all wrong. Think of how many people that would only connect to your unique style you're depriving because of your so quote-unquote humility or fear. That, you don't want to make yourself into something. So I think we have to embrace what we can offer and go with it.
Yeah. Beautiful.
I feel the same way about the RV. That's how I feel. That's my philosophy about this studio.
Right. And remember, nobody is more humble than me. okay. Next on the bio over here. This is where it takes a turn, Sherry. Sherry, what are you trying to do, by the way? There's something that she's busy with a skylight and... masking tape.
The skylight may or may not have a malfunction during the show. Just please continue.
Sherry will spin it. It'll be like it's part of the thing. It's
bring
experiential.
In bring in the light.
The heat. She got a whole thing. By the way, I'm sweating cobs over here. Where does that come from, that phrase? When I was a kid, my mother would like, I'm sweating cobs, Simon. What does that mean?
I don't know, but I know the AC was going to kick in full gear minute.
Any minute now, the AC is kicking in. Okay, next over here, Daniel.
Yes.
And I'm about to call you Daniel's son.
Okay.
Because it says over here, Sherry's looking up now, it says you are a sports enthusiast who competes in Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
It had the word jiu in it. Had to go for it, you know?
You compete in jiu-jitsu tournaments.
Definitely.
Where did that come from?
I'm
calling you Danielson, by the way.
Good Karate Kid reference. Very nice.
For the kids, for the millennials. It's not really millennials. It
is
now.
From our
Cobra
childhood.
Kai.
From our childhood.
Cobra Kai.
No doubt. So
YouTube.
I was training. I was training a bar mitzvah kid whose dad was really into jiu-jitsu, and he's like, "Rabbi, you got to do it." And I did boxing in high school, and I liked all sports. And I'm like, "Why don't I give this thing a shot?"
Wow.
I always wanted to learn self-defense better. And it was hard at first. You get beat up a lot in jiu-jitsu. And then, like I said, you know, I get a kick out of people saying a rabbi can't do X, Y, and Z, or a religious Jew cannot, like you do, I believe. It's like breaking stereotypes and also making a connection. Like, I've met people through jiu-jitsu that you wouldn't meet otherwise. So,
100%.
And also the kind of the idea that Jews are this, like, weak European... I don't know, that whole kind of thing. I like
the
breaking
nebbish,
that
the nerdy, the submissive.
Yes.
Wow, okay. Yes.
So jiu-jitsu, now to do the tournaments was very scary, I'll be
honest. Jiu-jitsu.
100%. That was part of the thing.
Milking that.
Jiu-jitsu rabbi handle might be in existence. I might have to make a second handle. But it was, I will say the tournaments were very challenging. You show up to this arena, like Long Beach, massive arena. It's huge. And you get on there and they're like, you know, I was fasting a bit because you got to get a weight. You got to be in a weight, certain weight class.
Wow.
And if you're a few pounds near it, you want to get the lower one so you can be bigger. And it was quite, I feel like.
Could have just come to the RV trailer and.
And had a sauna. Yeah, that's
what
they do.
The pounds away. Any minute now, Sherry. Okay.
I had a friend who dropped like 20 pounds in like 24 hours. He almost died, I think. But fighters will do that through sweating. Well, it's all water weight. So this would be a good
Yeah, but just to back up. You went from the bar mitzvah kid.
Yes.
And now you're in tournaments. That's not a simple thing to get to.
Real training.
You know, this is like the 10,000 hour rule. Right?
Yep.
You were training. And, wow.
Yeah. And I'd be honest
Can
now.
You chop like like bricks in half?
Not at all. Jiu-jitsu is not flashy. It's very, like, realistic. So karate sometimes gets a bad rap within jiu-jitsu circles because it's like, yeah, I'm going to kick some, you know, what are you going to do in a real street fight kind of thing?
Right.
But I will say karate experts can, yeah, me too. Karate experts, though, are no joke. But in general, jiu-jitsu is a much more practical.
What belt? Is it a belt?
So yes, there is belts. It's the hardest thing to advance in.
Okay.
So took me 3 years to get to a blue belt.
Okay.
So I'm a blue belt, and there's purple, brown, and black. Black belts sometimes over 10 years to get. So smicha, becoming a rabbi, might have been a little easier than advancing
Daniel
belts.
So how are the tournaments?
It's intimidating.
And did your like rabbinic training help you to get in a Zen-like spiritual state of mind, or not at all?
I'm guessing six years
of yeshiva, it requires discipline.
Yes, certain elements and learning. Jiu-jitsu is very cerebral. A lot of Jews are attracted to it. It's very, you got to think a lot and learn a lot of things within jiu-jitsu. It's very flow state. It's also for somebody who's not as strong to defeat someone who's bigger. So we're not always blessed with the best physical attributes and strength, so we can make up for that with using your training and your mind. But no, ultimately, I think it was maybe the ability to like focus on something and dedicate yourself to something that side carried over maybe.
Wow.
But the Talmud didn't help me when a guy was trying to choke me out. No.
Daniel's son. Hoya! Okay. next on the bio, Sherry, this is going to be your interest. Grab the mic. It says here that you like to annually serve the needs of thousands of visitors at the Coachella Music Festival. I think I just missed millennial, but I do know the term Coachella.
Nice.
Explain to the audience what that's like, where that is, and what would happen.
So again, working with the teenagers, I pay attention to where their attention is at, and their attention, they're like always going to Coachella. So I was like, okay, well, why don't we find a way to serve them there? And Coachella happens in Indio, California. It's probably the trendiest music festival on earth, not the biggest numbers, but the trendiest. And over 100,000 people go every year, and there's a lot of Jews as well. And I found the Shabbat tent, Rabbi Yonah in Los Angeles. They like to go to festivals,
and they've
been to Coachella, but the year that I was interested, they weren't there, and we decided to team up. And I went for 3 years, and for three years, I helped. It's a lot of work. You're in the heat all day, and what's interesting to me about it is I was thinking like, oh, this is so new age. This is not something that's, I don't know how this would fit in Judaism. And then I realized that Abraham and Sarah literally did this thing. They sat in a desert, stood in a desert, had a tent, offered free drink and food to passerby, and had deep conversations. And that's literally, we were re-bringing back.
Wow.
So a lot of
Abraham's
things I believe.
Tent.
Yep. I believe when we're thinking outside the box and we're doing things in this day and age and thinking, a lot of it is
so
rooted in Judaism.
We've got so institutional, right?
There's a lot of Judaism
political
in this. Yeah.
And establishment.
Or not to be too afraid. Yeah, not to be afraid to think a little different.
Beautiful.
I think you do
Sherry, have you been to Coachella?
I've actually never been to Coachella, so the Millennial Rabbi.
Running, a pirate radio station.
The Millennial
tell me
Rabbi.
Your festivals, I'll tell you mine. We'll
Sherry's
share.
More Burning Man than Coachella.
Wow.
Yeah, well,
it's coming up.
there's music festivals in Canada that I really like to go to.
Sounds good.
Yeah, with like bikers and hippies and that kind of thing.
Yeah, Coachella is not a festival in that way. It's very like upper class. It's not that vibe of like Woodstock. It's very how do I look? But I still feel if you camp out, you do get a real festival experience. People are sharing everything they have. It's
I'm sure there's. I mean, that's the part that you see on Instagram. But there are genuine music fans and people that have been going for a long time.
I can say I had a. It's a good environment. It's a good experience.
I would love to go. I was wondering. I mean, this is a little bit of a deviation, but you were talking about what you do. Were you familiar with Kanye did a service with a choir?
He sure
and
did.
The whole thing. That was crazy.
So that's fascinating. Because Kanye doing a church service in the way that he did it, I find very interesting because I think the idea of taking your connection to God and doing it in a way that he feels and, you know, connects to this generation and it is a way that expresses himself, I think it's great. I think it's, you know, I don't know what the Christian reaction to what his style he does, but I think it's super interesting what he's doing, and I like his creativity in his outdoor. I also love the outdoors. Like, I do most of my events for the community outside in nature, and it's just you can. The environment is important. The aesthetic is important.
Although, if you were lucky enough to be able to relax on the field that he had, you know, carved out for VIP, then I think you would get that full spiritual experience. Yeah. But if you're on the sidelines,
by the way, festivals in general, sometimes you're squashed, you're in this, you're dehydrated. Like that's, I call Coachella hell with a few moments of heaven sprinkled in. And you got to find your moments of heaven. Like even if you're stuck in 770 in Brooklyn or you're at Kanye's thing, for those people, wherever you are, you got to try and just close your eyes, just connect to the moment for a brief moment and try and get into it. But you're right, if you're not in the good seats, it can be. My friend had VIP, so he was filming from like right in front of Kanye. But
That'd be a little bit more of a spiritual experience.
He's Jewish, and I think it was Saturday, and he's at Kanye's church. I don't know how to feel about it, but.
So if Kanye wants to collaborate with the Hipsit podcast.
He's the type of guy who probably would. He'd be like,
yeah,
this
but
is
don't
different.
Don't
this
use
unique.
His music, Sherry, because
the government
are onto you.
Yeah.
I think there's something about being at a festival. I've taken groups on Birthright. People, when they're out of their elements, you know, they're open. They're open to something new.
So true.
And I think that I've been able to connect with Jews at the comic book festivals of all places.
Yes.
And there's something spiritual about the superhero, about the savior, about, you know, transcending and becoming a hero. So, yeah, I'm sure you had incredible conversations at Coachella.
I know it's a long topic, but can you give me like one example of what people find in the superhero that really inspires them that they're not getting in their daily life
I mean I think that the creators of the superhero who are largely Jewish immigrants,
Stan Lee,
I think Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, I think they really tapped into this double identity that we all hide behind masks. We all hide behind assimilated archetypes. We all want to fit in. We all want to blend in. We're all nebbish. We're all nerdy. But inside, we have something that wants to transcend that.
That'd be great.
So I think that, which was really their own story, retold through a superhero novella. So, I think it's, I think that's probably in a nutshell. I am at a point in life where I'm just post-millennial, so I've swapped Coachella and Burning Man for the all-you-can-eat buffet. there comes a point in life.
I think we're all jealous of the 60s and 70s for the most part. So
Adam Sandler says in his 30s, he was altruistic, wanted to change the world. In his 40s, he just felt like, is there food? But I'm learning from you, and I think there's something about... I know in your post, because I know that my 16-year-old suddenly has become tied and tethered to his phone. Mm. So, that's... It's the mobile experience. But you're able to connect through that medium, but I noticed that your stories are very spiritual.
Yeah.
And how are you able to synthesize, something as lengthy and with the length and breadth of the Talmud in an Instagram story? And you seem to do it better than anyone else.
Thank you so much. First, I got to say that I've been thinking lately, people say age is a number. It's very cliche, but my parents are late 60s, and I genuinely believe that they're younger than some friends of mine. Meaning I really believe it's a state of being. It's a personality. And you're somebody who's definitely like that. I think we're all multifaceted people. And even though I'm very spiritually connected and I love that world, a part of me is very, very in tune with understanding people that I'm talking to and dealing with. So like, I'm thankful for that on one side, I'm not like in my world and I'm actually super conscious of what the people I'm talking to, where they're at. And sometimes I can dilute what I really want to give over. But it's a balance. It's a dance to try and give over what you want to give over. Don't dilute it too much. And give it over in a way that the recipient can handle it, can take it in. So I think it's definitely a skill. But like, it's something I'm constantly working on. And
so I have a surprise for you in a second.
All right.
But just to bring things current, you 2 years ago put out a book,
yes.
Beneath the Surface.
Yes.
How to live life.
A meaningful life, maybe?
Says on how to live a life of purpose.
Yes.
You don't know the name of your own book over here.
It's a problem.
How to live a life of purpose in tune With Your Soul.
It's hard to remember that. It's a lot of
stuff. Yeah, it is. You wrote it, so...
it's had a lot of iterations.
Firstly, you have a podcast called Beneath the Surface.
Yes,
and
that's
I believe
the part of my book I remember.
I believe
more.
We're doing a crossover.
God willing.
So this show is going to be on your show.
Yep.
Don't sue us, okay? We got permission, right, Sherry?
I already know the sequel to this book.
Right.
How to Live a Life in Auto-Tune.
Oh.
With Your Soul.
Nice.
I'll co-write it
with Sherry.
Some of the rappers of
okay.
today, with Auto-Tune.
Who's your favorite rapper, by the way, off topic?
Tupac Shakur, by far.
Really?
Yes.
Sherry, who's your favorite rapper?
Rodney Dangerfield.
What's his rap name now? Ronnie
Money. Just joking.
You know what my favorite rapper is? I'm about to lose all... This is the point where the millennial rabbi just walks out. My favorite rapper is my favorite concert, MC Hammer, baby. Can't
Mic
touch
drop.
This.
Mic drop.
Can't, he's out. He's out the door. Hammer time. I went to the Please Hammer Don't Hurt Them tour.
Hammer was a real gangster, by the way.
Hammer time.
He doesn't come across.
I used to have the pants.
He's known
white
in the
pants.
He's still
touring.
He is?
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm going. Is it Coachella?
That's the beautiful thing.
What's the cheap version of Coachella?
One good song and you're in for
no
20 years.
No, I'm
Nostalgia.
Serious. There's a group and it's Tone.
Oh,
it's Tone Lock. And
Tone
MC
Loke.
Hammer. I know, I always say Tone Lock. Yeah.
Funky Cole Medina.
Yeah, it's that group is touring
MC Young
constantly.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
All right, so it's more Coach
I'm
than Chella.
I'm still angry at my parents for not allowing me. I had backstage passes to the Up in Smoke tour, which was Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg exhibit, and I was like 13, and my mother listened to one song from Snoop Dogg, and she's listening to the lyrics, and she's like, this is not happening. And I was like, are you kidding me? So to this day, I jokingly say, how could you have not let me go to that concert? Well,
you should have said, stop, Hammer time. Okay, so tell us about the podcast and the book.
Okay, every week when I was starting my journey from 18 onwards, I would write an email. And I didn't really ask permission. I just took all the emails I knew and I just started sending emails out. There was no SurveyMonkey, whatever you use nowadays, MailChimp. You just got emails that you could, and I would write whatever like most inspired me that week. I could have had 1,000 classes in Yeshiva, but the one idea that stuck with me, I wrote, and I kept a blog of it. And then I decided I have so much material, why don't I put it into a book? So it wasn't something I started from scratch. Put it together, and I was trying to think what's like the underlying message that I want from someone reading this book. And beneath the surface was the idea that simply, if someone can look at life in a deeper way than they did before, I'm happy. Like when you look at the ocean and you see water, you could stop there. If you scuba dive and you go deeper, et cetera, you start seeing a whole world that exists beneath the surface. Same with human beings. We look at each other. We immediately typecast everybody into a
hidden world.
Yeah. And there's a whole thing behind each person. So that was my goal of the book.
So what I'm hearing, Sherry, is the millennial rabbi is dope on the floor and magic on the mic. Now, why would he ever stop doing this with others making records that just don't hit? I toured around the world from London to the blank. It's hammer go hammer, it's hammer yo hammer, and the rest can go and play.
Hammer time.
There you go.
We may or may not be editing that part
out. No, that's staying in. I would love to start this episode with hammer time, but the government trumps onto Sherry, and you'll be doing a hard time.
I think it's worth the risk. I think it's worth the risk.
It is, right?
Now we're going to get a
clip. He needs the money, apparently.
We are going to call for another submission within the podcast for a klezmer band to cover hammer time. Please send us your submissions.
By the way, I have to interject. Totally off topic. I was at a conference of Chabad on campus rabbis. Sherry, you're not going to believe this. This show is a hit with the rabbis. One guy comes up to me. He says he drove from St. Louis to Stamford, Connecticut, and listened to the podcast the whole way.
Wow.
He almost crashed twice. One guy from Montreal, whose name will remain nameless, believe it's Banath, told me, loved the show. I asked the questions that, you know, were in his head. He says, you know those questions that you want to ask but you can't? You go there.
Mm.
So we're a hit with the rabbis. So I just want to give it up to the rabbis.
Yeah.
Podcast by rabbis for rabbis.
There you go. Okay, so what I want to end off with two things, millennial rabbi.
Yeah.
Number one, I just found out something amazing. As we were waiting for Sherry, who was supposed to be here at 11:20 to open the lot.
Deep apologies.
By the way, it is getting cooler in here.
Told you.
Right? It is getting cool. I appreciate that. So you drop something. I don't feel you want to go there, but we're going there. Millennial rabbi, you're single. So he's looking at me like, so millennial rabbi, we're going to open up the podcast to, if you would like to
some
date
call-ins?
Some submissions, not only for podcast music, but for Millennial Rabbitsons.
That's hilarious.
So you're out there looking
someone
for...
Someone to get that handle right now.
Right. So have you, you have not found the Millennial Rabbitson. So if anyone would like to, send in submissions for Millennial Rabbitsons.
You're forgetting something
yes.
that they need to include in their submission first.
What?
ASL.
What's ASL? I don't know.
That's the, like, psychology, like, what you're...
That's the millennial thing?
Do you guys seriously not know what this is?
No, what's ASL?
Both of you guys don't know what this is.
No, isn't that the thing with the ice bucket challenge?
You lost all
that's
your...
That's ALS.
Oh,
okay,
well,
gotta get your diseases correct.
Okay, this might be interesting because this might be a little pre-millennial, but ASL is the first thing that you would ask in a chat room on the internet. It means it's a quick way of asking someone their age... sex and location.
Oh.
Sherry, you are stuck in AOL chat room talk.
We're post-gender
over here.
Now anyway, so just AL.
This is, this is the millennial rabbi over here.
Yeah,
okay?
I guess it's AL.
He's the number one Insta rabbi.
Right, sorry.
Okay, so that's exactly where I want to go, by the way. Because what I want to end the show with, millennial rabbi.
Yes, sir.
I want to ask a question to you and to Sherry.
Wait, instead of your preferred pronouns, what are your preferred platforms?
My preferred platforms are AOL. By the way, I still have an AOL
Instant
account.
Instant Messenger, man. That's
what
about, you've
at.
Got mail.
What about TikTok? Are you on TikTok?
I'm not yet on TikTok. I don't think it's for me, but I have some kids in my group that are killing it on TikTok.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
We'll talk about we'll TikTok about that later.
All right. Yeah. He's here for the summer, by the way, Sherry.
Here for the summer.
So we're going to do this again, whether you like it or not, Rabbi Danielson. He's a real mensch, by the way, right?
You guys are amazing.
Okay, question, Danielson. This is why I'd like to end the show. Are you really a millennial, a.k.a. Gen Y,
yes.
or are you secretly Gen X? Okay, the answer, okay, is simple. Technically, you're millennial if you were born 82 to 202. Mm-hmm. Gen X is 65 to 84. I'm Gen X. So, Sherry, I believe.
That's pretty cool.
Sounds easy, right? Only a couple of years can make a seismic difference. So I got a quiz over here. I'm going to quiz you. We're going to start the quiz. We're going to find out if you're really the millennial rabbi.
If not, I got to change my name.
Yeah, yeah. Are you making it or are you faking
it? Quick disclaimer. The millennial name had nothing to do with the age. I did it because when you I think someone gave me the nickname was because... we've grown up, and this would include you. We've had our formative years through the change of technology. That change to, like, now everyone's interconnected. To me, that's like the millennial generation. However,
okay,
let's go for
are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready? Okay. I'm going to ask you some questions over here. Okay. This was, you know, I told you off mic that I spent between 3 and 4 minutes preparing for this podcast.
Hours.
Yes.
Hours.
It was on this.
3.5 minutes were on this, literally.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, I just, you may notice that I padded out the bio for about 35 minutes. Sherry, are you ready for the quiz?
I'm ready.
All right, MC Hammer, are you ready for the quiz?
Yeah.
Okay, a lot of teenagers babysit to make extra cash, right? You were probably one of them.
Mm.
When you were growing up, what did you get paid to babysit, okay? We got 5 answers. Less than 10 bucks, 10 to 12, 12 to 15, between 15 and 20 and more than 20.
Per hour?
Yes.
I think it was something like 10 to 12. I didn't do much babysitting,
10
though.
To 12. All right. That's it. No backtracking now. Okay. Next question. Everyone has strong opinions. Okay. But what can turn one topic about opinions can also turn you into a full-blown snob. So what topic are you a snob about? Okay. I'm going to go through. There are 6, I believe. You got politics, television, movies, music, books, or loading the dishwasher?
Probably, let's put television.
Television. Uh-oh. It's a bad sign for a millennial rabbi. Okay, next one over here, cartoons. On Just for Kids. Whether it's today or cartoons of your childhood. If you had to pick your favorite tune of all time, okay, you got here Looney Tunes, Big Mouth, don't even know what Big Mouth is, Bob's Burgers, never heard of that one, Family Guy, Simpsons,
gotta have South Park, come on.
Or Animatics?
No. Oh, Animaniacs.
Animaniacs.
Oh, let's go with that one. When I was growing up as a kid, I loved Animaniacs.
All right, Animaniacs.
South Park, as I got a little bit older, was
all right. So
we're Zany to the max.
And right. Baloney in our slacks. It's Animani. Totally X. Insane-y.
All right, number four. Movies can define a generation. In your opinion, what's the greatest film franchise of all time? I'll give you the options. You got Hogwarts, so I guess Potter, Star Wars, anything Marvel, or Bond.
I know which ones they want. I don't like any of them too much. I'll go with Bond.
I'm with you. Wow, off topic. Surprised. Off topic. Who's your favorite Bond?
When I was growing up, it was like I think Pierce Brosnan was the one that was in the ones that I was watching.
Right.
So I'm going to go with Daniel Craig because he loves the Jewish people.
He does?
Yeah,
he married Raquel Welch. Right,
what's her name? Welch, yeah.
Right, and Rachel Weisz.
Rachel Weisz, that's it. Right. I mixed it up. Yeah.
Rachel Weisz, if you want to leave, the Bond.
He played in that movie right. Where the partisans and against the Nazis.
Yeah, 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 he was also in the Spielberg movie.
There you go. He loves it.
Right, he was in the Spielberg movie.
Is the next James Bond going to be Elba?
No.
That'd be cool, an African-American James Bond.
I got strong opinions about that. Okay, a question, Sherry. Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite Bond?
The British one.
Defiance was the movie, by the
Defiance.
Way. Who's your favorite Bond? Yes. Sherry, come on.
Roger Moore.
Yes! Me too!
Yeah. No,
no one can wear a safari suit with the panache of Roger Moore.
You're the only opinion that matters on this.
Oh, my.
Roger Moore is my favorite.
Roger Moore's my first favorite,
yeah.
Second, and third. And my favorite one would be, Sherry, clearly A View to a Kill with Christopher Walken and Grace Jones.
It's before my time.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Meeting you with... Oh, we can't even start. We'll get sued by Duran Duran.
I never got that into Bond.
Oh,
I'm
Sherry,
just saying.
I'm all in. All in.
Austin Powers is the true James Bond. Clearly.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Okay, question number five. Before there were Netflix binges, you had to mainline your favorite TV shows via DVD box set. Which one do you definitively own? Number one, it's hard to say this as a rabbi, we'll say S and The City. Number two, Friends. Number three, The X-Files. Number four, The O.C.
Give me Seinfeld. Give me something.
So there. Number five, That Was Never Me. Why would I do that?
I'm not even clicking that one. None of them.
But they want an answer to find out.
I'm
Which
not...
one have you watched the most? S and the City, Friends, X-Files, or The O.C.?
Maybe I've seen a few episodes of Friends. We'll go with that. But any true
Friends.
Seinfeld fan would be disgusted.
I think you're right. Okay, I hear you. Okay, we're getting there. Well, number six, there's only 200 questions.
Yeah.
Okay, so you either got it or you don't. Don't lie to us. Do you drive a stick shift?
No.
Okay. Not a chance. Okay. Up. Continue the quiz.
This is an interesting.
Yeah. Almost done.
Questions for millennials.
A few more questions. Okay.
I want some
when
video
you're trying
questions.
To get some work done,
mm-hmm.
what do you typically play as background noise to help you focus? NPR, a podcast, Netflix, HGTV, or Spotify?
Spotify, easily.
All right, Spotify.
All day.
Sherry, what's the answer to that?
The answer is let's finish the quiz.
Okay, number eight. We've all had our brush with feeling like kids these days are too young to us. Admit it. What's the first internet abbreviation that totally went over your head? Okay, wow, I'm going to go through these. It's going to take a while. SMH... Or, that's number one. Number two, GOAT, G-O-A-T. Number three, T-F-W. Number four, L-O-L. Number five, L-M-A-O. Or, I knew all these things right away.
Probably the
What
TF-
went over your head?
What was that T-F-W you said?
Yeah. Probably over your head?
Yeah.
I've got a feeling I may get in trouble for that.
Whoa.
I don't know what it is.
Yes, you guys do.
Really? Okay, number nine, music is great. Except when it's painfully not. What musical pet peeves drive you insane?
Wait. TFW drives me insane when you guys don't know what TFW is.
I just realized what it was.
And
I just realized. Not on this podcast, Sherry. Okay.
It's that feeling when. And then it's more visual.
By the way, I think we often think it's worse than it is with things. It's like, oh, that's awful. Like, no, it just means.
No, it just means, like, I would take a picture or I would take a video of you guys not knowing it. And then I would post a picture, a reaction photo of myself in shock, and then I would write TFW.
I think we need to make one up now. We have to make up.
Yeah, TFW.
All right, what's your musical pet peeve?
We just
went very
meta with the TFW.
We're meta. This is the meta part of the podcast. what's your pet musical peeves? Autotune, pop punk, boy bands, cultural appropriation, or words you don't understand?
Oof. I'll go with autotune.
Autotune. All right, there's like two more questions over here.
Okay,
we're getting there. The end is in sight. Number 10, this could easily be the most telltale sign of which generation you belong to. What's your first job out of school? Salary job in my field. It was similar to my high school job. It was dreadful 6 months of unemployment. Entry-level job at one of my parents' companies. Whilst I tried to figure it out.
So I left 1 year of college and went straight to Yeshiva and then started my business when I got back. So I never had anything straight out of college.
So we'll go with dreadful 6 months.
Yeah, you choose it. You choose
it. All right. Dreadful 6 months. Okay. We got two more questions. All keep right. saying that.
Yeah,
it's like Sherry with the... it's getting hot in here. It's getting cold soon. 2 minutes. Did you know there's an extra area of checkbook where you're supposed to balance that thing?
That's funny.
Did you know that? Yes. Or what the heck is balancing a checkbook? Or yeah, I have an app that does that.
I'll say no.
What the heck is a checkbook? Okay, last question. I think it is actually the last question. Okay, last question. If it hasn't happened already, what from your past do you dread having to explain to your kids?
Mm.
Oh, there are options over here. Rotary phone, VHS tapes, Trump or 9/11.
This actually makes me excited to have kids. Dread talking about. I don't care about any of that. I'll say, let's go with VHS tapes.
All right. Beautiful.
That should boost my millennial percentage.
Okay. You ready for the results?
Oh, yeah.
Sherry, are you ready for the results?
100%.
Sherry, you look like you're falling asleep over there. Okay. We're ready?
We've reached the crescendo.
Still in the Schwitz.
Yeah.
By the way, you could actually, I know a lot of Hasidim around this neighborhood that would rent this place as a Schwitz. We'll talk off mic. Okay. So
Micro business.
There you go. Another business for Sherry. One of your many jobs over here. By the way, good luck with the interview. Yeah. Okay. I'm praying for you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Literally. Okay. So we've reached the crescendo of the podcast. I want to thank Rabbi Danielson Bortz, the millennial rabbi. Not only are you a deep thinker, you are a mensch.
Thank you, sir.
And I appreciate that. And I do. I'm following you. Your stories are, you know, they're spiritual, they're meditational, and they're inspiring. And really, I bless. I'm so glad that we've connected over the summer. Apparently, we were also at Mayanot. Mm-hmm. We were in Hadar Torah. So, you know, our trajectory is not that far apart. Are you ready for the results?
Yes.
Okay. I'm about to click. Dun, dun, dun. Hold on tight. Something's happening over here.
Edge of my seat.
I know. It's clicking over here. It's working. You are 100% hashtag selfie unfiltered millennial.
Whoa.
Nice.
Can you do the clapping? Clapping.
So we can't because we'll get sued.
Even clapping?
By no,
the,
he's joking. I can insert that later.
Okay, we can do it later.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. Okay, so finally.
I can keep the handle.
For the audience, I'd like to ask millennial rabbi, especially potential millennial Rebbetzin, how do we find you, like you, subscribe to you, download you, and buy you?
I like that. First of all, I want to thank you both so much for this. This was a lot of fun. And all that you said about me, I feel the same about you. Very unique rabbi, very special. I am at Millennial Rabbi, two L's, two N's, on Instagram, Facebook, and millennialrabbi.com or rabbibortz.com goes to the same place. And yeah, reach out, say what's up, ask a question, connect. I love it. I live for that.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, that's it. Rebbetzin Sherry, any closing remarks for the Millennial Rabbi?
Yeah, if the Millennial Rabbi comes back, we have another quiz for next time, or anyone that's interested regarding Zillennials. So Zillennials are apparently a micro-generation that serves as a bridge between the disaffection of Gen X and the optimism of millennials.
Wow. Okay, one final question. One final question for the millennial rabbi. I think we're going through, you know, there's always something in the Zeitgeist that seems to go viral. But right now, what's viral today is not the millennial, but the Altakaka. Because I'm seeing on every feed this app of everyone aging themselves, which is killing my anxiety because everyone looks old and I feel like I'm about to die because I'm living in the Golden Girls.
I'm too vain to do the age one, but I did the male version of me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I thought it would be more comforting to see everyone who's considered like, you know, you look up to them and people are jealous of each other. And then you see them as old and you remind yourself we're all going to be, you know, none of us is here forever.
But I would have been a Mediterranean god.
You could pull that
off. You look like Yanni.
You'd be like a Spanish male model.
I feel like when I look in the mirror, because I'm starting
to... This is my son.
I'm starting to gray. I feel like I look like the aged picture. Because in my head, I feel like I'm like in my 20s going to see Singles with Sherry. But it's very scary. So what's your take on that, Millennial Rabbi?
No, like I said, I think it's good. I think we all need to remind ourselves that we're going to be old one day and to kind of live our lives to the fullest now. And so when we're that age, we'll look back at now and be like, wow, I did the Hasidic hipster... podcasts and did all this cool stuff when I had the chance.
And I subscribed to the Face app and they got all of my marketing information and now I'm getting weird ads for the rest of my life.
It's incredible, those ads, how they market it. I talked to my brother on the phone about some concept. Boom. Instagram ad for it. I'm like, how did that just happen?
I mean, it is fun to age ourselves on this app, but you know it's just a tool to gather information.
Off topic, right?
Yeah.
This is the off-topic part of the podcast. I'm on Miami Beach last summer, right?
Yes.
And my wife tells me, oh, I just got an email from the IRS. They wanted my social security number.
Oh, no.
And I put my bank information. And as I'm sitting on the beach, I'm like, honey, what have you done? And they just cleaned us out. So that was my vacation last summer. Anyway, with that, this is me.
That is another podcast.
Was it actually the Nigerian email that these
It was connected.
I'm joking. We can all get
Wow. Yeah. So anyway, with that. Anyway, another story, by the way, Sherry. I once lost all lost all my wedding money.
You can't just
all
sleep.
My wedding money instantly. Within a second.
All right.
That's for next week.
Invest with the rabbi. Yeah.
This is me. Rabbi Simcha, Millennial Rabbi, Rebbetzin Sherry Barkley, saying Laila Tov, Laila Tov, thank you for listening.
All right, Hipsid the podcast is recorded and produced by Sherry Barkley and Rabbi Simcha. Thank you for listening, like and subscribe, and remember, we're going to be starting a new RSS feed very soon.